Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. Coming up in 15 minutes, Mayor de Blasio. But first, my next guest is the Democratic candidate for governor of Florida this year, which is a little unusual because he was elected governor of Florida in 2006 as a Republican. He is Charlie Crist. His unusual partisan journey began in 2010 when he lost the Republican Senate primary to Marco Rubio, became an independent to run in the general election, and now he has gone all the way to becoming a Democrat and leading in the polls, by the way, to defeat Republican Governor Rick Scott. And Charlie Crist has a book out now called The Party's Over, How the Extreme Right Hijacked the GOP and I Became a Democrat. Mr. Crist, thanks so much for coming on with us. Hello from New York and welcome to WNYC.
Brian, thank you so much. Please just call me Charlie.
And I guess a book to explain yourself might be in order because people might assume you switch parties twice now at convenient moments to keep your electoral hopes alive. Why would that be wrong?
Why would that be wrong? Because I did it to be true to myself, and I did it to make sure that I could be comfortable with where I was politically and honest with myself, and that's why I did it, because the Republican Party, you know, at least leadership went nuts, and to be blunt. And, you know, the fact that even Jeb Bush, my friend, says that today's Republican Party is perceived as anti-women, anti-minority, anti-gay couples, anti-immigrant, anti-education, anti-environment, I mean, the list goes on. You know, pretty soon there's nobody left. And I just couldn't be true to myself and stay with a group that was led in that direction and really seemed to be becoming intolerant, to be honest. And so I have become a Democrat, and I really feel at home. In fact, a lot of my friends used to always tell me, Brian, that, Charlie, you're a Democrat, you just don't know it. Well, I guess I do now. And it's been a wonderful journey, and I think people will enjoy the book. I hope they buy it.
But how do you explain 2010? And not that you're the first politician ever to do that. You know, up in our area, we had Senator Joe Lieberman, who was a Democrat, and when he lost his Democratic primary a few years back, largely over Iraq, he then turned around and ran as an independent in November and won. But he didn't make any bones about that being for political survival. He did lose the Democratic primary, but his values didn't change. So how do you say that you suddenly you weren't a Republican anymore the moment you lost the primary to Marco Rubio?
Well, let me correct you on the facts a little bit. I didn't lose the primary. I became an independent before the primary. So I was true to my values. And I could see even before the primary that, you know, the Republican Party of 2010 wasn't where I should be or wasn't where I could be. It just didn't comport with my upbringing and, you know, the values that my mother and father instilled in my three sisters and me, that you be decent to other people and you treat people with respect and you do unto others instead of, you know, putting upon people and leaving them alone and, you know, nobody has your back kind of mentality. And the Democratic Party does represent that. I think it's much more the people's party. And so the facts are different in the circumstances, and I'm glad to be where I am, and I'm excited about the race ahead and the future of Florida and the future of our country. I really am.
In the book, you say, my former party fell into the clutches of the Tea Party haters. Now, Tea Party supporters would say they formed not out of hate, but because President Obama and Congress enacted these big government policies like the Affordable Care Act and the stimulus bill, and they're concerned primarily about the nation's future debt. What would you say to that?
Well, I wish all of that were so, and I wish there weren't an element of anger about it, but I'm afraid to report to you from the front that I experienced in 2010 and beginning in 2009, frankly. I mean, you know, I had the audacity to go down to Fort Myers, Florida, in the clutches of the mortgage meltdown that was occurring in our country, and be with President Obama when he came there to talk about the Recovery Act, the Stimulus Act. And you know, the reaction I got from that, Brian, and the anger that it produced, bordering on hate, was just stunning to me and very disappointing to me. And so that's what I saw, that's what I lived, and that's what I know.
And I apologize for my misstatement before. I guess you were starting to run in that Republican primary, and then it became clear that Marco Rubio was running way ahead of you, and then you decided to become an independent, so you actually weren't on the ballot in that Republican primary.
Right.
You know, Mayor de Blasio is coming on right after you and, of course, has been emphasizing inequality as a central issue. Is that a central issue for you with respect to Florida and proposals in your platform?
Yes, it is. It is. You know, I think, you know, we need to, as I said earlier, treat others with respect and each other with respect. You know, the president said it pretty well in his interview with Robin Roberts a couple springs ago when he said, you know, who are we to tell others who to love or who to marry, for that matter? I think the president got it exactly right. I agree with him. And so equality in all sectors, I think, is an important notion, an important American notion, you know, that we all have an equal chance to do well and work hard and succeed, and that nobody should be discriminated against on any basis. We're all children of God,
and
we ought to respect it.
Economic inequality, which is de Blasio's big issue?
Yeah. Well, it's a problem. I mean, I think we've all seen the statistics lately that show the widening gap, the shrinking of the middle class, and you know, how the wealthy keep getting extremely wealthy, and the middle class is becoming not so middle anymore.
So what could you do about that as governor? De Blasio's doing universal pre-K, paid sick leave, living wage laws, those kinds of things. What could you do as governor?
I think education is the key. I'd have to applaud the mayor. I think that, you know, pre-K is incredibly important. I'm a public school kid in Florida, and, you know, I think we've got to do better for our children in education. That's where it starts and ends, and make sure that if they want to have a good advanced education, college or junior college, that it's affordable so that that can be achieved and that they can do better and receive better employment, better paying jobs. I think another way to do it, particularly as it relates to Florida, is have alternative energy, you know, like solar energy and wind and some other things develop and create a complete new industry that people can be employed in.
Give me something specific. I'm not hearing anything specific on education. Would you push for universal pre-K? Would you push for lower tuition for more access at the state universities? What specifically?
I would push for more pre-K, and I would push for lower tuition. And you know, you don't have to believe me. You can trust me because I've already done it. I was governor, and those are exactly the kinds of things that I did push for specifically because, you know, it's important that one by one, student by student, these things come available, and you do what's right so that they can have a brighter future. You know, we have Bright Future scholarships in Florida that the current governor has radically reduced, and I would fight for that so that, again, college is more affordable for the students throughout the Sunshine State.
As a candidate for governor, what do you think the impact of the Affordable Care Act is or will be on Florida, and would you try to change any of it at the state or federal level?
Definitely at the state level. You know, it's not perfect. I think we all recognize that, but I think it's awfully important to support, and I do. You know, we haven't supported it under Rick Scott's leadership in Florida the way that Governor Beshear has done it in Kentucky. You know, we need to have navigators and help people be able to sign up and get the health care that they deserve. The president, I think, deserves great credit for pushing it as hard as he did, and it's starting to move forward. And I think that what's really important here is we all know that we need health care. I think all of our fellow Americans deserve health insurance. And we need to make this thing work. It's the law of the land, and it's been upheld and supported by the U.S. Supreme Court, too.
My guest is the former Republican governor of Florida, now running for that position again as a Democrat, trying to unseat Republican Governor Rick Scott. And he's got a new book called The Party's Over, How the Extreme Right Hijacked the GOP and I Became a Democrat. What do you say about the people in Florida and around the country who are voting for these more extreme Republicans? Why do Floridians elect statewide a Marco Rubio or Rick Scott? Why is the House in Republican district after Republican district drifting so far to the right? What does it say about the people of Florida, the American people in many parts of the country?
Well, frankly, I think in Florida specifically, they're anxious for a chance to undo some of that. And I'll find out for sure on November 4th. But I think that they're frustrated and they're disappointed with what they got. You know, there's an old expression, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I think Florida got fooled 4 years ago in electing Rick Scott. And I just don't think my fellow Floridians are going to do that again. Polling indicates that they're not, and that's been consistent. And, you know, but I know it's one day at a time, and we'll see how it goes as we move forward. But I know Floridians are smart, and I know they're disappointed, and I think they want to change.
There's another,
and on November 4th, I think they will.
There's another Stand Your Ground trial in Florida now, as you know, with echoes of the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. Of course, every case is different, but this is being spoken about in the same breath because of that context. Would you, as governor, try to repeal the Stand Your Ground law?
I try to change it. I agree with Senator Nelson on this issue, our Democratic U.S. Senator. He and I have had several conversations about it, and I think what you need to do is recognize that when you've got a law on the books that, you know, I mean, number one, people deserve and should have the right to defend themselves. That's a basic American tenet, and I think everybody agrees with that. However, having said that, when somebody initiates an altercation, you know, remember when we were kids, people would say, well, with the schoolyard fight or whatever, you started it. Well, when somebody starts it, the notion that they can end up having the sad conclusion of ending a life with it, there's something wrong with that law. And so it needs to be fixed, it needs to be improved, and it needs to be put in a way that makes sure that people don't end up dead when these things occur.
You know, for people up here and around the country who aren't from Florida, sometimes they look at your state and they scratch their heads. And they think from Bush versus Gore in 2000 to Terri Schiavo and Trayvon Martin and Marco Rubio's election and so much that has happened in recent years, Florida looks to much of the country like ground zero for polarized politics in America, sometimes for really crazy politics in America, social issues as well as economic ones and ethnic divisions. Why do you think it's so hotly divided? And is it a little crazier than the rest of the country?
I don't know, but I don't think so. But it's a very diverse state. It may be the most diverse state in the country. But with that diversity comes a lot of different views and opinions. I mean, we're the gateway to Latin America. We have an incredibly diverse population, a lot of senior citizens in the Sunshine State. It is really sort of a microcosm of all of America, if you will. And I think that what you see is, you know, unusual things happen all over America, and we maybe are sort of a nucleus of a lot of interesting things that occur in our country and highlighted in Florida. We're about to be the third largest state in the country, surpassing New York. No disparagement on your fellow New Yorkers, perhaps. But,
quality over quantity, sir.
Pardon me?
I said quality over quantity. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's okay. Humor is important. But it's a big place, and this will be a big race in that big place, this race for governor this year. And, you know, if people want to get engaged, charliechrist.com is a good place to do so because we need help. I'm running against $100 million down there. This guy is a self-funder. He spent $75 million of his own money, Brian, in getting elected back in 2010. And so it's going to be challenging, but I think we'll be fine. I look forward to the race ahead. I think it'll be spirited, and certainly we'll be honest on our side of the aisle.
We've got Mayor de Blasio coming on in just 1 minute. You endorsed McCain in 2008, not a Tea Partier, but Obama in 2012 against Mitt Romney, who is not a Tea Partier. What happened there? And the next Republican presidential nominee might be one of your predecessors, Jeb Bush, seen as a moderate compared to much of the party. So how does this all fit together?
Well, only time will tell how it fits together. I think that what's important is you got to go with what's in your gut, your heart, your soul, what you believe is right for the future. To be honest, for me, it's never been about right versus left. It's always been about right versus wrong because of my upbringing, frankly. And I think it was right for me to support the president in 2012. I'm probably going to be supporting, I'm sure, the Democratic nominee in 2016, whether I'm governor or not. I just think we're on the right path now with the Democratic Party. And I congratulate the mayor and what he's trying to do here in New York City. Enjoying a lot of snow today. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to him about that in a minute.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I'm just hopeful for the future of our entire country, and certainly in particular my Florida. And I'm excited about it, as I said before. And I think things are going to work out well. I think the re-election of President Obama in 2012 proved that the American people as a whole want us to continue in this direction of being more gracious to one another and good to each other. And that excites me a great deal.
Former Republican governor of Florida, now running as the Democratic gubernatorial nominee, Charlie Crist, with former Newsday reporter and columnist Ellis Hennekin. His new book is The Party's Over, How the Extreme Right Hijacked the GOP and I Became a Democrat. Thank you so much for joining us.
Brian, it's a pleasure. Good to be with you today.